Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars Rewards, where every bet you place brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Download the app using promo code RADIO1000 and place your first bet today. If you win, great. If not, you'll get it back as a bonus bet, up to $1,059 for Super Bowl 59. Open to new users in Illinois who are 21 or older. First bet after registration must qualify. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a bonus bet. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right now, get up to a $15 gift card after rebate when you purchase select SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome, everyone, to a new introduction of the podcast. Look, we don't have our boy Michael Gauthier with us tonight, again, sadly. However, that production, he's with us. He's with us in spirit, Robbie. Robbie, how are you this very chilly day?
Yes, we were trying to one-up each other with how cold it is in the various places, and I had to pull out the hometown, which doesn't count because I'm not there, but as the coldest place, at least that I knew of today. Yeah, it's a cold winter day. Or maybe it's an early spring day, depending on when you're listening to this.
This is very true.
And maybe it's after opening day. And that's the good thing about these big three next to you, Ben, is that we are locking and loading short-term, long-term talent objectives here for everybody on different organizations. So I am great because whether it's hot, cold, or otherwise, talking baseball with you is always fun for me. And I know the listeners and the fine folks in the Palazzo Discord and our 888 subs on YouTube that we have right now are excited. And again, fun and fine time to reiterate. Subscribe to the YouTube. Govia does an excellent job of producing these bad boys. And when we throw our information at you, if you're listening and this is coming through your ears via podcast, if you just pop on the odd time, maybe you can put us in the background when you're doing something through YouTube, but you can also watch and check out all the excellent graphics and things like that that mm-hmm. Mike puts out for us. So, Ben, I'm good. I'm excited. I love talking about two of these three teams typically, and I hate the other one. But tonight, it's a switch a little bit for me.
Oh,
I'm happy to speak about all of them. And I think I'm a little outside the box as far as big three on, I'll just say it now, I'll say the Astros. I think I'm a little outside the box on the Astros, but it's really logical when we get into break it down. But we're not starting with the Astros tonight.
No.
We said, let's make those guys the meat in our prospect big three next three sandwich. So, Ben, who are we leading off with? And do you want to go ahead and spit your big three?
Well, we are leading off with the Cleveland Guardians, and I am going to go back to last season and read you my big three from last year, which surprisingly there's some overlap. Chase DeLauder, Kyle Manzardo, and Juan Brito were on my big three last year. Two of those three graduated. I believe Brito graduated. Brito at least reached the majors. I don't remember. I guess I'd have to look up to see if he got enough.
He did but not for get sure, enough at bats.
For sure, Manzardo did. And so
I think it's somebody else. Let me look at my notes.
But I believe Brito. Anyway, those were my guys last year. And DeLauder, unfortunately, is still on that list. And I say unfortunately because it's primarily due to injury. But, oh, it looks like, okay, I was wrong on Brito. Brito did not make it to the majors. I thought he did last year, but he spent all year in AAA. Okay. But the guys I have DeLauder back on there. I have Travis Bezzano, the number one overall pick. And then I have Jason Chourio as my other one on my big three.
Okay. All right, so we've got...
How about you, Robbie?
He got... So for Ben here, he's got DeLauder, Bezzano, and who was the other scrub? Chourio.
Chourio.
That's right. The fancy name boy, which might give an indication to listeners that he may not be on my top three. But I want to recap, and this is going to be not a victory lap whatsoever from my big three last year, which was Rocchio, their everyday shortstop, who, sure, you know, he had a rookie year, but it was like a sophomore slump all year. Daniel Espino, which I got to say, everybody, I know, I understand. You're like, what, him? This was before the other injury, okay?
Yeah.
The next Honeywell, as I have my notes from last year too, the next Honeywell, or is he still a starter? At 23 in 2024, he's got lots of career ahead of him. The heater will be there, and the secondaries were solid before. And you know what? He's not bad yet. So he was there, and then I did have Chase DeLauder as well. This year, I have two of the three that Ben has. I've got Bezzano. I've got Chase back. And then my addition, and I do admit I've cheated, I have two, okay? I have CJ Kafis, who is a third rounder in 2023, and I have Parker Mezick, a left-handed pitcher who's in 2022, he was their second round pick. And my notes on these two guys are for Kafis, who was, I think, potentially a catcher. I don't remember. Like, I don't have a note on him as a catcher, but I had him in a catcher section. So that could have just been an error on my part. It doesn't matter. K concerns in double A temper my long-term outlook, but that's something that can, of course, be helped. But Cleveland needs a future first baseman because Carlos Santana came back because they weren't ready yet. Manzardo and whoever else you want to go with, I don't know. He did also have high BABIP last year. This is Kafis. So there's another potential concern. But skills are solid. Results were good. The more interesting one to me is, of course, the left-handed pitcher. And for anybody out there who was around when Marco Estrada was wheeling and dealing at his peak, this could be a Marco Estrada type. It's not overpowering, but holy moly, there's Ks. There's Ks for days. And 133 and two-thirds innings pitched. He had 165 Ks with a 1.14 whip in 26 starts. No delivery issues. That's the big thing on him. Very repeatable delivery. I finished last year in double A. I think he could be up this year if it all either, Ben, goes right or goes wrong. So I've got Bezzano, DeLautner, Kafis, and Parker Mezick.
And I got to say, you don't go wrong generally with a lefty in the Cleveland system. That's just, they tend to make major leaguers out of them. Now, whether they're a first division major leaguer, that's a whole nother deal. Right. But,
and how long they stay up, as we've noticed.
Yep.
That's the new thing in Cleveland, is they have enough of them that if you're not doing well, Logan Allen, you will just be demoted instead of struggling at the major league level.
Yeah. So I'm going to kick off our next three and look back at last year's and see a guy that is no longer on the list because he's no longer with the organization. Well, I don't know. Fortunately, unfortunately. But Alex Clemmie, who leads into our discussion, or leads into a discussion on Cleveland's process here. But and then I did have Chourio last year on my next three. And I also had Robert Arias, which he is nowhere near my list this year. But that's a whole other discussion. Clemmie leads into a good discussion point, and mainly because if you look at the top, I'm going through here, top five guys in their minor league system last year in strikeouts, three were left-handers, and all of them, and two of those three pitched most of their season in the upper minors. And so they have depth. They have lots of depth in lefties, and they know that their development system is good, and we've made that note. Cleveland likes to go out and get that guy that next year they can flip because he's going to be a 6'5 rangy lefty that suddenly he's spitting out really pretty curveballs or changeups or whatever. And then it's like, oh, well, let's make him, you know, piece number two in our midseason deal. That's excellent scouting is what it is. So this year, however, I have a different type of lefty that they have gone and picked up in my next three. I have Ralphie Velazquez in there. Mm-hmm. I have Josh Hartle. Is my other kind of lefty.
Yeah.
And then Aniel Anoa, who's their, I guess everyone wants to call him a pop-up prospect. I don't think he really popped up so much last year as he just kind of kept doing what he has been doing, but did it stateside and, you know, hit 330 and looks a lot like a guy that tends to get developed well in this system. So, those are my next three. How about you, Robbie?
Yeah, I also wish to recap because let's remember, right? Hold ourselves accountable. Mm-hmm. Alex Clemmie was also on mine, and of course he's now with Washington. And when that time comes, I'm sure he'll be brought up on a list or his absence, maybe. Yeah. I don't know if one of us makes a mistake or not. I also had Will Dion, who was that pop-up mm-hmm. type guy. He was a 2021 ninth round pick who had an excellent 23, a good 22 also, I believe. And he's not on the list, but he is still potential major leaguer, just didn't make the list. And I also had Petey Halpin, who I feel mm-hmm. like I've personally been fanboying for simply because I feel like the talent's there. And in 2020, he was somebody that was of interest to me because I was told, oh, this is a really good lefty or left-handed hitting prospect who's going to mm-hmm. be brought along slowly, and now he's going to be entering his age 23 year. He finished last year at AA. I think it's logical for him to move to AAA this year. He was protected in the Rule 4 draft, and he's returning to my next three. And I've got the new tag for him. Can you say sleeper? Because we've all fallen asleep and forgot about him. He's an outfielder with developing power. While his average has gone down each of his pro seasons, his power has gone the other way and gone up. Mm-hmm. I know there's always the fun argument that on Twitter I used to get into when it was called Twitter, with a couple people over, like, they develop, power's the last thing to develop, blah, blah, blah. No, some guys have it and some guys can develop it. It's not that everyone all of a sudden hits more home runs, because people don't retire with their biggest home run season. For some people, talk to Chris Bryant, it can come real early in your pro career, mm-hmm. and then you're chasing it the rest of your career. Well, for Petey Halpin, it is coming on now, as he did sign as a teenager and is now in his early 20s. So Halpin I've got on my list. I think he's going to be able to get time in Cleveland as well, because once upon a time they'd clogged the outfield. That's not the case anymore. It just is a matter of what they're going to do. They're very crafty, because we didn't discuss with Bizzana, because he's kind of an automatic one, right? But he can actually do everything. Yeah. He could easily, within 2 years, be a top three second baseman, you know, pecking away, because he steals bases, because he's got power. He's excellent, and he's kind of forcing the hand, he kind of forced the hand with Cleveland of, like, moving Jimenez, their multi-time gold glover. Yeah. And Toronto was like, we like contracts that are stupid. We'll take them.
and not giving any contracts to the guys we should.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then we'll send a prospect that we could have used at first base to you, and then you can flip them for two pitchers that you'll develop and be able to repeat the cycle of Cleveland being good at developing and playing the other baseball game, the management baseball game. But anyway, all that to say that there's a hole that was created for Bizzana to fill. And they do have other guys that are in and around the organization now mm-hmm. who could also do it in the meantime, but they're all going to be fighting. The outfield doesn't have that same clog anymore that it used to. Halpin, I think, could find his way up and in potentially this year, but I'm really thinking a full year, 500 at-bats at AAA would be super beneficial to him. Mm-hmm. And ideally, he doesn't have a major step back as he did when he was in AA the first time in 23. And then he got better last year in the power respect and other things. So I like Halpin. I've got Ralphie Velazquez also and Jason Chirio here. And the reason that Jason is here and Ralphie really isn't because they have less prospect potential, it's because they are the next ones. They're not going to be graduating off this list within a year. The stolen base potential for Churio is what I love, but average is what we need. We need him to consistently be able to get base hits so he can continue to steal. He did repeat A-ball He repeated A-ball after finishing there in 23 and had elite OBP, 44... I'd have like decimal 44.
44 in, stones.
Yes, 44 thank you. Steals. 44 steals and 334 at-bats and an impressive 69 runs and 58 RBIs, which is a lot of production in the lower minors in 334 at-bats. So that's great. But again, average is a concern. And then Ralphie Velasquez was drafted.
Yep.
Catcher is now first base. So he's not the catcher of the future. This is allowing me to sneak this name in. That's Cooper Engel's job. Who I like for his pop and his wheels and should track well potentially up to 2026. But Ralphie's developing nicely in A-ball with good OBP. What else is he doing? My notes on him are so long. A K rate under 30%, and he had 11 home runs and 308 at-bats last year. Again, 19 years old. So that's two guys with Cleveland that are potentially going to continue to rise. They're at the top of a lot of lists already, but it's not lists that are going to turn into MLB production, which is why our lists are a little different.
And that's, you know, the guy that, you know, is a little different on mine is Hartle. Hartle coming into last year was there were people who were talking about him as a potential 1-1 overall type of guy before the college season started, and he lost his release point. And he never could get it back in the college season. And that really was a big issue. I mean, it led to a ton of control issues and trying to force the ball into a spot led to him getting hit a lot harder than he ever had been before. But this is a guy with a track record in big-time college baseball of being absolutely elite and kind of has all the, I believe he's another guy who's a 6'5 lefty sort of type, but... he is one that I believe 6'5 lefty. There you go, right on the nose even. But you come out of Wake Forest, and that last year was ugly. 5.79 ERA. But the year before, 2.81, struck out 140 in 102 innings. And like I said, for Wake Forest, who's an elite program, playing elite programs, playing deep into the year every year, this is a guy who was doing it in the College World Series the year before and just kind of fell on his face last year. I liked the idea that the Pirates picked him up. I thought that that could be a good development organization for him. But I love the fact that the Guardians are the ones who now get to develop him, because I truly think he's a guy that he has the potential to be that frontline type of lefty that the Guardians develop all the way up through the system.
Yeah, and it just for the record, it does count that you said Indians because you quietly said it and then you angrily said it. So it's
and then I angrily said it at myself because I said it, and so.
But that's okay. Let's move on and talk cheaters. Houston Astros next up.
Do we want to mention any other Guardian types that we're looking at? Could list 30 arms. I mean, their arms are, you know, one guy that I know folks are going to bring up because of his year last year is Matt Wilkinson. And
Tugboat.
Yeah. And 174 strikeouts in 118 innings, 190 ERA. Yeah, the numbers were all real pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But this is being a big guy, it makes me sound like an a-hole for saying this, but this is a guy whose shape is not great, you know, not great body skills, and he throws 90, 92 and got away with it in A-ball last year, A and high A.
Yes.
I don't know that that happens again in double A. I will be very pleasantly surprised if it does, but you're talking about a guy who probably his best potential outcome is that he sticks as a 4-5 guy.
Yeah.
And this isn't a front line guy.
I did mention within mine, I got to grab my name here, as Mezick was my kind of fourth snuck-em-in guy on the big three, thinking that that's the guy that could be more deceptive than Wilkinson. And that's, you know, partial body makeup, but also just like a finesse pitcher with an elite changeup versus a high K, again, deception, which at the higher levels could get caught. Now, of course, it's Cleveland, maxing them out. So for Dynasty, this is an excellent offseason to trade him, you know, Wilkinson, because this is max value as far as we know right now and as far as we can trust the skill set. Now, if the skill set continues to improve or some other facet comes in, devastating slider all of a sudden, you know, excellent. Great catcher, stealing a couple strikes here and there, or, you know, great infield, whatever it is, right? Innings that end, things that make the stat line look better, that could continue. But realistically, he just didn't kind of clearly make it for us. But
Ryan Webb is another one out of this system that I'll mention, but he was also Rule 5 eligible and not a soul took him, which makes me think, and he's another one. He's a 90-92 sort type of guy. He's more of a two-pitch, fastball changeup sort of guy from when I've watched him. Now, I understand he has other pitches, but it seems like every time I watch him, he comes out throwing about 80% of those two, which, you know, that's, it works for him, but is it going to work in the majors for him? Some solid lefties in this system. I will say they have their type as far as their development type, and you have guys like, let me make sure I say this name terribly, Welbin Francisca, kind of popped off in A-ball this year, but along that annual Noah type of profile, you get a lot of guys like that in the middle infield. One that I was kind of told to keep an eye on now is Yuniker Caceres, Caceres. He was 16 in the Dominican League this year, and no home runs, and so a lot of folks are going to go, oh, well, you know, he just... But 17 extra base hits and 9 steals with a 19 walk to 18 strikeout rate. You know, those are the type of numbers I like to look at in the Dominican to see what's going on, but then I talk to folks and they say, yeah, hey, keep your eye on him. He's that type of guy that they seem to do well developing. And so, you know, and quite frankly, he didn't make our list this year, but Brito didn't have a bad year in AAA. He just never got called up. Yeah. He hit 21 home runs.
And he is poised to be the second baseman.
Yes, absolutely.
With the Guardians to start, but it is placeholder-like, and it could very well be the move him around. But also, he could just take the job and hold it. And maybe this is an excellent opportunity for Cleveland to do something else, which they are good at doing, whether that's moving one or two pieces in and moving him out, or they'll make a shocker-type move and move some other types of players to free up the position, if it is second base, in fact, that Brito solidifies himself at. You just don't know, which is one of the beauty things with Cleveland is Brito sticks. This is, of course, the Brito that came over the trade for Nolan Jones from Colorado a few years back. And at the time, he was kind of hyped, and then it's calmed down, but now he's on the cusp, ready. So it's just the fact that Bezzana's there that made sense for Jimenez to move out. But Brito could take the position for this year, be really solid, and then create a really interesting thing for the Guardians moving forward.
So the one last guy I'm going to mention here for the Guardians is someone. Have you been hearing a lot of people talk about Alex Freeland of the Dodgers and whether or not he should be a legit major league option and that you should maybe be considering him as a potential 300 to 500 plate appearance type bench guy and all of those sorts? Now, granted, then they went off and they signed the top Korean import this year, and they signed, you know, the Dodgers don't have anywhere to play him. That's the biggest issue.
Yes,
but that's Alex Freeland is getting a lot of pub. And in my opinion, Alex Mooney is a very similar player. A tick below as far as overall skill set, but a guy who just kind of fills a lot of boxes, can play around the infield. And he has a little more power than what Cleveland normally develops out of a middle infield prospect. Granted, that probably translates into 35 double power, not 35 home run power, but it's also a guy, he stole 43 bases last year in high A. You know, that's a 43 bases in 49 attempts, no less. You know, so it wasn't like he was running rampant and getting caught half of the time. He was pretty darn good at what he was doing. So just a guy that really interested me last year because I thought he should have gone, I think he was a sixth rounder out of Duke and a seventh rounder out of Duke. And I thought he was a lot better ball player than that. I thought Cleveland got a good deal there. And haven't seen anything yet to say he's not a solid player that should be getting a lot more look. But
right, might just be the slow burn on account of where he arrived within the system's rankings, too, for him on that one. So, all right, Ben, now are you ready to talk cheaters? Talk Houston?
Now let's talk about those lovely... Well, you know, they don't even have an Astrodome anymore. Come on, you know?
But they do have an asterisk. Okay.
Yeah,
all right, Ben, lay it on us. Who are your big three for the Houston Astros?
Let's look back last year because this is going to be informative as far as what Houston does as a system. Last year, Jacob Melton was my number one guy, and I also had Spencer Arrighetti and Joey Loperfido as my other two big three.
Yep, two of the three graduated. Both, very nice.
Yeah. And but two of the three also are no longer with the organization, which says a lot about what this team does with their top players. However, an interesting part this year is Cam Smith is the guy I have leading off my list this year, and someone who they actually acquired as a still prospect, which is a rare move for the Astros. But I also have Melton back in there, and I cannot quit Luis Baez. I put him in my top three just because. So that's my big three.
Well, you did say two of your big three were not with the organization anymore.
Yeah, Arrighetti and
Arrighetti's still and with Loperfido. Houston.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I don't know. Who am I thinking of?
I don't know. Not Arrighetti.
So last year. That's a really good question.
Thank
you. It's okay. Don't mind me.
Yeah, we'll just.
It's cold. My brain ain't working.
There we go. That's perfect. All right. So my big three from last year were Spencer Arrighetti, my number one, Jacob Melton, and Luis Baez. Baez was like my stretch guy, J2 guy that looked like he was, you know, good at the time, and now he's kind of settled in. He murdered the DSL in 2022. I got all juiced up on it and wanted some more of that. Now, he's not returning to my list for the big three here. My big three, and I did take it in a different direction this year. I've got Shea Whitcomb, Pedro Leon, and Zach DiCenzo. And I went with a ready to help the major league club right now approach to that list. Pedro Leon, excellent year in, actually, let's start. Mm-hmm. Shea Whitcomb, all-star in AAA, but tripped in his first cup of coffee in the show. Pedro Leon, all-star in AAA, tripped in his first cup of coffee in the show. Whitcomb, 25 home runs, 26 steals, plus a combined 164 runs and RBIs. Oh, his K rate was under 25%.
I was going to say, yeah, that's the huge thing.
By the way, he's ready, but what will Houston now do with him? Pedro Leon. Same line as Whitcomb on power, speed, runs, and RBIs. Can these guys do it in MLB? I mean, why not? It's the Astros, and they can, you know, fix a dip. And if this happens, they might not do that thing I've been saying where they're going to get worse over the years. They could just keep on putting along, as Ben, you had mentioned to me earlier. Atlanta doesn't need to have more stars in their system. They need starters in their system.
Mm-hmm.
MLB position players, that's what Whitcomb could be, whether that is second base ideally for him, but he could be moved around. Pedro Leon could be your left fielder type, but he could move around. He could also potentially be an infielder. And then DiCenzo, he's a corner. You know, he's a corner. He's a power OBP. Love the OBP. And ideally with him, he needs to listen to the veterans with Houston on what he needs to do to get back to his power ways. What I don't like about him, if I'm picking my own guy apart, is we will not see stolen bases with this guy.
No. Nope.
But we do have three guys within Houston, prospects here, who could all potentially in 2025 hit 20 or more home runs each.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And Whitcomb is the one that, I mean, to me, Leon reminds me a ton as far as value and outlook of someone like Jake Marisnyk, who you keep seeing Houston run out every year, and you're like, well, why?
Right.
And then he goes out and he has, I mean, yeah. I mean, he has a solid year every year. It's nothing exceptional,
mm-hmm.
but he plays quality defense. He's kind of a glue guy for him. And he, for one, he always seems to come up with a big hit at the time that they need one, playoff or late in the season, which is kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah.
That's who he reminds me of. You know, if Shea Whitcomb turned into a lesser Mauricio Dubon, I think that's a really possible fit for him. Or if you want to go back into the cheater Astros, a Marwin Gonzalez type. You know, that's the type of role that he could really fill, is to potentially play multiple positions. But yeah, DiCenzo's a guy, and we'll get into this. I had him on last year's next three, but he's a guy who I really liked and then got hurt and got a slow start to his year. And I honestly think he could have done more with a major league opportunity had he been healthy all year, but he was still kind of getting used to what he was seeing in the box. And then went up to the majors, and that's just a whole different level of what you're seeing in the box when you get up to the major league level, right, versus the minors. And that's, you know, so he, yeah, all three of those guys kind of tripped on their face right away, but they've all got legit, you know, things to like about what their profile brings to the table.
Yeah, depending on when you, the listener, are taking this information in, if your prospect draft has not yet happened, depending on the league size that you're in, you know, if you're in a 12-teamer, they're going to be far less desirable. But if you are in like a 16 and over, they are worth a spot in your minors, mm-hmm. and potentially how your league, depending on how your league is set up, as a final guy or two on your bench if at your MLB level to take a shot on these guys, because the shine of prospect capital is gone now. They are guys who may or may not be major leaguers, and if you are dealing with a GM that rosters them, that has gone through this with several other players who have not clicked quickly, or they're a trigger-happy trade guy, you can get a deal done with one, two, or all three of them, depending on who's got them. Three separate deals here where you don't overpay, but you give up a guy who may, in theory, have more prospect hype, but you're looking at mm-hmm. legit production in the minors and guys who could help your major league, your major league roster, your fantasy roster in 25 and beyond, which is one of the big things that I'm excited about with Whitcomb and Leon, specifically Whitcomb, is that he's never gotten his due as a prospect because everyone's been concerned with his K rate. And last year, as I mentioned, the K rate went down and
significantly
the power was there and the stolen bases are there. And when to Ben's point, it went down considerably, which changed him as a player. And in my mind, as a prospect, this was a fifth round pick in 2020 in that weird draft, that five round draft. And he's mm-hmm. stuck around with Houston, and now he is poised to be able to play. It's just where. He's obviously not taking Altuve's spot, but there are places for him within Houston short-term, and then depending on the plans long-term.
Do you trust Jeremy Peña long-term?
Not anymore.
Do you? I mean,
like,
do you trust defensively Isaac Paredes at third base?
He's 25, you know? And that's his biggest asset, is the youth and the potential. But but like you said, maybe he's a first baseman.
And that's just, well, but they did sign Walker.
They
Christian
did.
Walker.
Who completely screws up the whole idea of DiCenzo being DiCenzo able to take a spot, because you've now essentially blocked your corners, which means Whitcomb is your utility, or you put him to the outfield, which means Pedro Leon is your outfield utility. And maybe if there's something, like, the best thing that could happen for fantasy people who don't roster Altuve is that he gets injured so that one of these two guys can start getting some other at-bats. But, yeah, like, bringing in Isak Paredes is a really interesting thing, because it's Houston giving itself a good problem Now you've got to perform at the big league level, which none of these guys did. So I guess DeZenzo was okay. He was fine. He just
get a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. Okay, we'll leave it at that. All right. So yeah. Ben, what about your next three for Houston?
So last year's next three, I had Luis Baez on there. I had Bryce Matthews, who we're going to have to get into because I did not mention him here in a bit. And I had Zach DeZenzo last year. He was kind of my make sure I talk about him guy last year. This year, I have Zach DeZenzo back on there. But then I have a couple of arms, and this is just because Houston does this so dang well that they develop these type of guys. A.J. Blueball, which...
Sorry, did you say Blue Balls?
That's just where I was going with it.
Because that's what everybody else is going to say.
That's exactly. and then Anderson Brito, who, if you don't know who Anderson Brito is, you should get to know who Anderson Brito is, because this is
Ben, you son
the
of a
latest
bitch.
Holy, the latest holy crap pitcher for the Houston Astros yes, system. He is. Because
everybody out there, don't tell anyone else, okay?
Yeah.
It's our secret.
It's our
he's
secret.
He's rostered in 8% of leagues in Fantrax.
Yeah.
And he is a dynasty target of mine in every single prospect draft.
He is. Houston does tremendously well finding, quote unquote, late signees, these guys that sign at 18, 19 years old.
Old
in
J2
Latin
pitchers.
America. Yeah. And they tend to wait. They find the guy who's added some man muscle and suddenly is pitching in the, you know, mid-90s with a holy crap slider or whatever he might have. Well, this is exactly what happens. You have a guy like Brito who went from opening the season in the Dominican, made one start in the Florida Complex League, and then they bumped him right up to low A where he pitched 27 and a third inning. So, yeah, he may be in his first professional season, but as a 19-year-old in low A, that's where he should be. Mm-hmm. And in that time, 27 innings, 38 strikeouts. Now, his control got a bit away from him at the A-ball level, and that's something they're going to continue to work with. But if you want to tell me that this is Jose Urquidy in 2 years, I completely believe you. You know, this is the type of guy that they get. They develop like that. I mean, he's not a Framber Valdez. That's not the type of stuff he has. He's not a, you know, pounded into the ground type of pitcher. But he could be very successful with a little bit of tweaking, and it's just the type of guy that they like to develop. Blueball, he's just, I don't, I picked him up last year and ended up dropping him because I thought at one point that when they had a bunch of injuries, he was really, really doing well in AAA, and I thought he would be their next arm, and they just never gave him that shot. He spent all year in the minors, but 133 strikeouts, 128 innings in AAA, in the PCL with a 3.83 ERA. You know, you take that. So just one of those guys that checks a lot of boxes on the mound. And nothing special, but you get a number four starter out of any guy that you pick up in a prospect draft. You get a number four starter out of him. You did okay.
Hey there, this is the Blotto Podcast. If you're in a hotel room right now, check to see if there's a Bible in your second drawer, courtesy of Gideon's. We'll be right back after these pointless messages.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Absolutely. I think those are some fine choices there. Brito, 100%. I'm in on him. I'll recap my next three from last year here at 37 minutes and 18 seconds. And I had Joey Loperfido last year because I wasn't sure what Houston was going to do. This was the thing that I said before. Like, they've pissed me off in the past because they haven't played these guys. And then when they do give them opportunity, it's exactly what they did with DeCenzo. They don't play them regularly. And they're like, hey, Trey Cabbage, why are you struggling? Oh, we'll get rid of you. You know, he came over. But prior to him, it was Jose Siri. We're not giving you a solid run, although you've shown us you can do it. And Loperfido, similar situation. Now, they shipped him out to Toronto, where I hope there's going to be regular playing time because we like the power. Obviously, we're afraid of the K rate, but we can deal with that. I also had Miguel Ulloa. Ulloa. He was a 2021 J2 guy. And Rhett Cuda. And
another late signee.
Yeah, another late signee. Rhett Cuda was my other guy, a 12th round pick in 2021. Last year, and then Jaime Melendez, who's a guy that I've just liked. Now this year, I did repeat Miguel Ulloa, who's now at AAA, and I've got the notes of he's very good, but when he gets tagged, his ERA pops up. And what I mean by that is opponent batting average was 163 last year. When your opponent batting average is that low, you should have a much lower ERA than the mid-fours, I believe he was in. And in 130 and a third innings pitch, he had 171 Ks in 130 and a third innings pitched. So two excellent things, but the ERA doesn't make sense, which means obviously when he's getting tagged, the ball's leaving the park. And when he's getting
tagged, he misses
the
strike zone a lot, too.
Yeah, he's giving away some passes, I guess. If you want to get critical, Ben, he walks guys, okay? There, I said it. But that is the kind of Michael Kopech, if you make an adjustment, perhaps you will stop doing that Kopech dealt with. Not that these are the same guy, but just to the point of, like, you've got really good numbers, but obviously there's a reason it hasn't come together for you yet. So maybe there's a way that through, you know, the Houston magic on the mound, they can do it. I do have Brito in my next three also for everything that Ben said. I have his year totals. You did the specific when he got to A-ball. But he had 82 Ks in 53 and two-thirds innings last year, 151 ERA. That's, of course, three levels. Now, as Ben said, the build for Framber Valdez is not there. He's 5'10". So if you want to get back into the idea of who could he be like, let's just go back to, say, Marcus Stroman type. But this is a fastball slider guy. And what do we think, Ben? Bullpen at worst here? The Ks are there.
That's just it. And from, again, I will say I have not done a ton of video on him, but the folks that I've talked to, the folks I've listened to, talk about how explosive the stuff is coming out of his hand. And that right there tells you, oh, hey, this is a guy that you need to pay attention to, because when you're 5'10 and stuff is popping out of your hand, that's a really good sign.
Yes, absolutely. And he's elite in that, not elite, sorry. He's been really elite. I'll say elite one more time. He's elite. He's been really good. And now we want to see him, like Ben, you said he's at the right age. We want to see what happens when he's up against older hitters. What does he have to change, or does anything change? And the other guy I didn't mention is Cam Smith, which, of course, he's really good. But I think he is in the next three, because I mentioned guys who are MLB ready today, right now. They're good to go. And Cam Smith, I think, is going to be AA, AAA this year, because he finished last year at AA, and it makes sense.
That would make sense. Back,
right? New organization. Don't push the kid. And then next year is when he's obviously going to head up my big three and be the, obviously, he's on the cusp. So we'll come back to this. But Ben, that's the big three. Next three, who else did you want to talk about? You said Bryce Matthews was a guy you had to touch on. So go ahead and touch Bryce. Touch on.
Oh. but this is a guy who, I think, four levels? I think they intended to have him play three levels last year, but he got hurt and ended up playing a little bit of complex ball because of that. But he is, Nebraska. That's what I thought. I was going to say, I thought he was a Big Ten college player, and he was their first-round pick in 23. And just one of those guys, a ton of raw talent as far as his last year with Nebraska, 20 dingers and 20 steals. And this last year, 15 home runs, 32 steals. There's a little bit of strikeout concern. The contact quality isn't maybe what you would like for a guy who's hitting 15 home runs. But defensively, he's pretty smooth at short. I think the arm is there to where if they needed him to, he could move to third, but certainly should stick on the left side of the infield. I think you're going to see him a lot in AA, AAA this year, and probably right next to Cam Smith, and those two are probably going to be doing some auditioning for the 2026 Astros roster.
Yeah, which could be a little crowded, as we're discussing right now. It's crowded right now. Again, making the Walker signing interesting, but at the same time, what veteran MLB team is going to say, okay, we've got five youthful guys we think could potentially take these two positions over the next 2 years? You're not doing that. You're a veteran-laden team. You're just going to, you know, fold in some more veterans and let these prospects push each other, which gives you, obviously, cheap contracts, but also opportunity to fit guys in where they best suit your team.
So one guy that caught my eye as I was preparing on this system, a 14th round pick in 2023, Jackson Neza?
Yeah, N-E-Z-U-H. Gotcha.
And the guy went to Florida State originally, so you know that there was some intrigue coming out of high school. Ended up at Louisiana Lafayette to finish out his college career. Just lack of opportunities. Had a 6 ERA in his draft year. That usually doesn't get you drafted very well, but the Astros took a chance, and last year he was pretty solid. 120 innings, 151 strikeouts, 3.89 ERA, pitch across A ball. So, I mean, you know, it's a 22-year-old in A ball. Take that for what you will. But you gotta like that. The thing I really like looking at his numbers, this is a guy who's a significant home run suppressor. So does a nice job. You know, his balls in the air tend to stay in the park. Mm-hmm. He usually doesn't allow a whole lot of pop flies that are leaving the park. It looks like, I think out of his 10 home runs, 8 of them were on line drives, which, that just, if somebody really squares him, they're going to put one out on him. But if you don't square him, it's usually, if you're hitting it up and into the air, then it's likely going to be a pop out, because it's just hard to square him just right with that type of swing. So those type of guys tend to do well, and especially, again, we're talking about in this system. That's, you know, the Arcades, the Frambers, these type of guys tend to come up and do something for the Astros for some reason. And so it's just a guy to keep an eye on just because of his profile. The other one that caught my eye is in his second year down at DSL. I like the frame. I saw some, you know, this is going to sound creeper, but, you know, I saw some Twitter video of him, and you're like, that guy stands out as a man among boys physically. He's a big, strong kid. Juan Sierra is his name, outfielder, and in his second go-round in the Dominican, 9 home runs, 10 steals, 10 doubles. Again, strikeout concerns, but, you know, just the raw tools were really impressive. And so this is the Astros system has just a ton of guys. You know, you mentioned Pratt. A lot of guys like that, a lot of raw talent type of guys, but they're at lower levels.
And Luis Baez, who I did talk about, say, last year, now he moved up to double A this year. Just wanted to make sure people understood that he did move up, but what he it wasn't for very long. The bulk of his year was still in high A, and when he moved up, he did take a small dip, but his year-end line is fine. So that's in, where are we, 431 at-bats, which is lower level. That's a full season. 258 average, which dipped towards the end with the promotion. OBP was not where it was previous years, which is one of the reasons I wasn't as excited. Just over 300 at 301, but 21 home runs, 11 stolen bases. I'm cool with that. Strikeout rate was just over 25%, 122 Ks in those 431 at bats. So, you know, we're not trending in the right direction, I should say trending, because what he had done in previous years was, I guess, around that? 62 games in 214. So maybe it cleaned up a bit, but just in bulk. What I did like was that he got a lot of RBIs, which means he's a heart of the lineup hitter, and the guys in front of him are getting on. But it just wasn't enough for me to go back, because I think that there is still minimum 2 more years before we see Baez knocking on the door in Houston, which is why I do see an ETA on, I think it was 3 websites when I was looking, that all said 2027. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense that that's his debut year. I don't know that he finishes that year. I think he could still finish that year with rookie. With rookie of eligibility for the following year. Gosh, I can't talk real goods. But anyway, that's all I got for Houston. You got anybody else?
One more guy, because I got into the holy crap physicality. Naomar Ochoa.
Okay.
He was their 11th round pick in 23 at a high school in Texas. One of those guys that you and I both like to look at the third day, see who got
what's an interesting a pretty big signing. Bonus. Yep.
He got a good size bonus. 6'4", 230. The guy looks like he should go out and play some NFL safety. I mean, just big built guy. 10 home runs, 17 steals. What I will tell you, the little bit of video that caught my attention watching him this year, the guy's got a freaking cannon in the outfield. 12 assists in 78 games. And they still try to run on, you know, at that's that level, awesome. You still try to run because you try to run on everyone. But, yeah, it is, when he unleashes one, it's accurate, and it's, I mean, he threw a ball from the right field corner to second base without a bounce, and it was like, I mean, the old meme of the receiver catching a football from the quarterback and falling backwards, that was kind of the way the second baseman took that ball, right? I mean, it was right at his knee, and the second baseman's getting his knee away to, like, I don't want to hurt myself trying to catch this ball. It's coming in hot. So, that was a play where he didn't have to throw to get a guy out. He just turned and wheeled from the corner on a ball that got into the corner to try to hold the guy to a single, and he did. But it was one of the more impressive throws I've seen out of a minor league guy in a long time. So that's, you know, at least you got raw tools all over in this system, but it's fun to see some of those raw tools like Ochoa's arm.
Yeah, and when you, like you just mentioned, the assists, when you see that the defense is there at that point, if you're struggling a bit at the dish, you're still going out and hitting the field every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're showing the coach managers, you're showing the above people who are, you know, getting the stat sheets and having a look at it. You're showing them that you're doing it defensively, so they're going to let you work yourself through the rut or make that adjustment or whatever it's going to be. So, but enough cheater talk. Let's get to selling at the deadline and making the playoffs talk. That's right, everybody. It's Tiger talk. So, Ben, who do you have in your big three? Or sorry, who did you have last year in your big three? And who do you have this year?
So last year, my Detroit big three, pretty solid group. Jackson Jobe, Max Clark, Colt Keith. One of those graduated. The other one actually made some playoff appearances. And the third one is, you could make a good argument for a top 15 prospect in the game. So I think that's a pretty solid top three return coming into this year. And this year, two of those three stay on. I got Jobe still on because he's still eligible. And you got Max Clark. And then Kevin McGonigal, who I have always been a big, big fan of, and is one of those rare guys that has proven me correct over the years. So,
all right, there we go.
Those are my three.
So quickly switching to mine, and of course, you know, here at Plaza Podcast, we like to keep time codes. So I've got this one down. Last year, I went with the Colt Keith. That was the obvious one. The signing, I believe, must have just happened because my note on him, which I love reading my notes, he's boring now because he's signed and he will play. The thrill is gone. That, folks, is how you do a prospect report for fantasy baseball.
Right there.
And he went from third base as a prospect to what we're now believing is going to be first base. But that's to be determined, and we got prospects to talk about who can upset that. And Keith could just be a guy that always moves around. Now, I also had last year Jackson Jobe, who you already mentioned, and I had Sawyer Gibson Long. And this goes back to the reasoning behind my Houston picks this year, MLB proximity. Now, he got hurt, and he did not graduate rookie status, which is why you'll find him yet again here on my big three, Sawyer Gibson Long. because he's back, baby. I think he made one rehab start last year or something like that at A-ball, so he's pitching again, but he's now 27 years old. This is a 2019 sixth-round pick, and there's nothing that he did, but does he return to what he was looking like he could be, which was at peak SP3? What's realistic? And again, this is a guy that Detroit made better. We're talking about teams that have done or organizations that have done good things with development. Sawyer Gibson Long benefited from Detroit. It was like 2-3 years ago we started to kind of pick up on guys. They traded for Reese Olson. All of a sudden, Reese Olson got kind of a little bit better now. Reese Olson's in, you know, Detroit's starting lineup. We've seen other guys get good stat lines at AA and look good at AA and then progress to AAA doing the same thing. So he's there on my list. Jace Jung is another guy who's knocking on MLB door. He could be there. Now, he should hit 20 home runs in the show. He should have a 255 or better average. And he could prove to be really good at taking walks, which later in games is very important. And then maybe he gets pulled and somebody races around the bases to score. He could also just be an OBP asset because of that. But I think there's a path for him to be a second base, third base. He was the 2022 12th overall pick, just for everyone's remembrance. And, of course, Jackson Jobe I mentioned as well. Third overall in 2021. We know that Jackson Jobe's elite. Depending on who you're following for multiple lists, you're going to see him up at the top. He's going to be a top three starting pitcher in prospect land. And until he's tarnished, why not? Because he's damn good.
Yep.
There it is. So, Ben, next three?
Next three. So my next three from 2024 included my boy Justin Henry Molloy. Then I had Ty Madden. Favorite. Yeah, and I had Ty Madden, and I had Kevin McGonigal, who mentioned I was a fan of. And this year, we're going with some new guys. Thyron Lorenzo, who they picked up from the Dodgers in that midseason dealing. One of their draft picks this year, but not the one you're thinking of.
Okay.
Owen Hall, their second round draft pick, really, really impressed. Did a little video dive on him as I was looking at FYPD stuff, and I thought, ooh, this is an arm that I really want to keep a close eye on, especially because Detroit has done a fairly good job of developing arms in the recent past. And then my final one is Hayu Lee. A lot of that comes because with third base open and really not a sure spot what they're going to do with Colt Keith, there could be an opening at second base. And so he certainly could come up, and he's never going to win you a fantasy league, but he is exactly the type of guy that's going to come up and hit 300 and spray the ball around and earn a job because he is just steady. Just really, really, really steady. So those are the guys I had on my list.
I feel like I heard Paul on another one who I can't remember exactly where they'd put him. I feel like they'd said he was like a top 15, top 20 prospect. It was somebody that was intelligent. And I thought, that's an interesting call. And I don't know if it's because in retrospect you get to look back and think, well, now I'm gonna set signing bonuses aside. I'm just looking at raw skill set and if they did debut or did not. You know, you could plug those guys up. But yeah, Hall is a very interesting name, and I don't have him. I'm not gonna say it's a mistake because I've never made one of those. Last year, speaking of mistakes, Justin Henry Molloy was on it. Not that he's a mistake. He was on my list. Max Clark was on my list, which I know not a lot of people like that I put him in my next three, but he's 19 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And that's what you do with those guys. That. And then Justice Bigby, that I think this year would be on my next three if this was 1 year ago, because he had a 343, 405, 537, 23 line at three levels with 19 home runs. But he did not repeat. There was no further progression. That looked to have been
unfortunate.
His peak. So he's gone, still with the organization, but he's gone from the list, and he's definitely lost a lot of prospect pedigree that he very quickly got and lost. And this year I've got, Sugar Snap, I didn't write when I started talking. Let's say it was 56 minutes. We'll find out. If Gobe tells me I'm wrong on the timestamp, I apologize. If you clicked on this and you're like, that son of a bee didn't start talking about Detroit's thing at this time. I apologize, but still subscribe to YouTube and thanks for watching. Next three, long wait is over. 2024 first round pick. I went with Bryce Rainier because yep. I heard he was good, and I want to see it.
There's rumors.
Yeah, I want to see it for myself. I also have Max Clark here. I know it's a year later, everybody, but he's still going to be brought along slowly. I don't see the point in rushing him up. And then I gave my catcher a break. Thyron Lizarno, who I had last year, who I loved last offseason. I even traded him away in Dynasty and then watched him bounce around two other teams in one league. And I tried mm-hmm. to get him back, and they said no. But this guy, Bryceno, just will not pronounce his name correctly. This is the AFL guy that was the stud.
Yeah, Osway.
Osway. Yeah. So I believe in this. I believe in this as fun. I think he could be a first baseman. I think it's likely he's mm-hmm. a catcher. And this is my scouting report on him. This is the note I've got, guys. He's Venezuelan, Britain. This guy's Venezuelan. So if you've been listening to any of the Dynasty, there's a catcher one that I did with Ty from Diggers and Britton Allen. And Britton is our Venezuelan guru. He knows everything about him. So he knows how good this guy is based on that Venezuelan blood. So it's fun that they have multiple options at catcher because it's great for the organization. It's crummy for fantasy because you just want a guy who's going to play. But Max Clark is clearly going to be a successful outfielder, and depending on how Rainier's debut season goes, we could be seeing him popped up list because they're not locked. And not that they're going to have a 20, 21-year-old at shortstop, but they're not locked in the position. He could move up and catch Clark real soon from rookie ball. They could maybe meet up in 2026 at AA, and then they could be that next wave for Detroit. So Detroit's in a good spot. Like, there's a bunch of Tiger prospects that I think are worthy of mention. And I mean, I know I did the cheeky thing of taking a guy that's 27, but he is a prospect, and we are playing fantasy thing here. But I really like my Jung ideal. It's playing time, of course, right? That's my concern with it. I think that's fair. Heyu Lee is the former Philly. Is that correct, Ben?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, and he was an interesting, not shot in the dark, he was an interesting low-valued prospect two off-seasons mm-hmm. ago. Last off-season, he started to get more mentions. Trey Sweeney, we didn't mention.
And I will be very blunt that mm-hmm. I am not a Trey Sweeney fan. Okay. Good on him for what he was able to do at the end of the year, but I would be lying if I said that I expected him to give you anything better than what he produced for you at the end of 2024.
Sub 300 OBP in the show. He's at 110 yep. pro or MLB at bats, sub 220 average, and OPS sub 650. Although he did have four ding dongs and five doubles, there wasn't much beyond that. And he's not stealing a ton of bases. And obviously, with the low OBP, he's not walking. But this is a once upon a time guy who people were quite excited about as a Yankee. And then he went to the Dodgers. And that was the Jack Flaherty trade that brought him back.
There we go. And so I'm not sold on him long term. That could also be a spot, although he's tended to be more second base, but that could be another spot where Heyu Lee gets a chance to pitch in as that shortstop. I think that he would be a suboptimal shortstop, let's just put it that way.
Sure.
It'd be your, if you want to go back in Tigers history, it'd be your Omar Infante playing shortstop moment. Like, a guy that should really be best used at second base, but could stretch and happen to handle shortstop for a little bit. And that's kind of what Omar Infante did for a little bit with the Tigers back in the day. I like Sweeney's raw talent, but he just stopped developing the moment he was drafted. And I don't think anybody caught up with that.
Yeah, when he was at his baseball best. And then we as fantasy lovers have been trying to find a way to justify a path to success. And now he's at the level.
He's put up home runs and steals. And so there's a lot of folks that are going to excuse other things because they're getting fantasy stats.
Yep.
And that's that's all well and good. It's just, it doesn't, sometimes it just, it doesn't work.
I think his success in fantasy is going to end up being limited to points leagues, because he's going to hurt you too much in average. And depending on how your points league is set up, if you're not taking a point off or half a point for strikeouts, that can be where he could be your biggest asset. One guy that I did want to mention, because I admit the left-handed pitching talk has been very light tonight. I did look. Sometimes certain organizations just don't have it, and some of the ones that do, I feel like I've beaten a dead horse with it. But Detroit's got a comp round pick from last year, Ethan Scheifelbein.
Nailed that.
6'2", 180. But I don't have the data on the guy. And when I watch video, it's fine. It looks good. He looks like he's a competent baseball pitcher. But what I want to see is the pro debut. Because even the scouting grades, which I think I had three different ones, it's all pretty much, like, to me, it screams whoever wrote them didn't get, they wanted the same thing I want. They wanted to see him actually pitch and walk around and, like, how does he practice and how did he warm up? But they didn't see it because he's just got 50 fastball, 50 curve, 50 slider. I did see a 55 slider, 50 changeup. So you're given this teenage 18-year-old four pitches that are all quality in the sense that they're 50s, so that he can throw the pitch. That's what you're essentially saying. So let's see what he does against hitters. And if they move him in and potentially out of rookie ball this year, and if he gets some A-ball time, I'd be impressed with that. But he's got a faraway ETA.
For a 6'2 lefty, I think you would be surprised, or I think you would be surprised that he's 6'2 if you saw a video of him, like, because he is like all arms and legs.
Yeah, he looks real thin.
And he comes, his delivery, what it makes it really tough for guys to pick up is he comes up and over the top at the end. It's a real high release from that 6'2 and those long arms. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of goofy in that delivery. And there's a lot of, I mean, it just, when he is on, he was on a Team USA team where he was, I can't remember who else was all on that team, but there were some first round legit, Cam Caminiti was on that team. And he ended up being the talk of that team because he got on a roll where he had his delivery working, and he just mowed everyone down in international competition. But then he had moments in his high school season this last year where it was just, you could tell when it wasn't 100%. He's still, for high schoolers, he's dominant because he's facing high schoolers. Right. But when that delivery was off, he would walk high schoolers. And a guy that dominant should pretty much never walk a high school kid. You know, you should always be able to get kids. Yeah, I mean, they should be swinging over stuff because they're so scared of it that they're just kind of putting a token swing out there hoping that they catch a piece and get a foul. But that's usually what you would see with a guy like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of intrigue there, and definitely someone that, you know, if you go down into their pitching development or their pitching system, Tigers have a lot of guys who've really worked well through their system. Jaden Hamm is a big one last year who kind of took a big step forward.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's right.
They've got a AAA. Their AAA rotation could be a really big feeder into their major league club this year.
They've got a lot of cusp in them, like Lale Lockhart, who came over in the Flaherty deal as well.
No, he was there before. He was actually a released guy by the Dodgers.
Oh,
the
shoot.
Dodgers flat out released him.
Okay, I just saw the Dodger the Dodger track record, and I thought, that was obviously Flaherty too. Well,
no, they released him in spring training. Tigers picked him up, and he just took off.
I am dumb because I see that he also pitched at Double A with Erie last year. I didn't even pick up on that. I was just going to suggest that the concern here is the overwhelming K, or what you could see as overwhelming K, 93 mm-hmm. innings pitched, 109, is completely brought back because it's a .239 batting average, which means you are getting hits. Almost every fourth guy is getting on base with you. And then on top of that, he's walking half a guy an inning, or actually a little more than that. So the 4.6 something walks per per nine. Not great. And he gave up 16 ding-a-dongs. So he has some sort of a kink. Maybe he's got some sort of a tell that he's not aware of that they did not figure out for him last year. But he's been good, like not great, but he's been good, and he's right there, and he's left-handed, which means he's going to get four or five opportunities, and I bet you we see him pitch. We'll see him start this year in the show.
Jake Miller's another one that you should get some attention on. He was he's a lefty that went to the AFL this year, but what I liked when I started looking things up on him, only made 24 appearances this year, but pitched 87 innings. And so I looked up some of that because I thought, well, that's weird. He was Tampa likes to do their opener and then bring in their bulk guy.
Yeah.
He was a bulk guy often.
He was their Tyler Alexander.
Yeah. Which, you know, hey, if you're a solid enough guy where you're getting 4 to 5 innings in the minors as a bulk guy, that might mean there's something long-term for you as a starter. But, I mean, he made 3 starts out of his 6 appearances in the Arizona Fall League. ERA was not pretty, but he did have a nice 24 strikeouts to 3 walks ratio over 16 and two-thirds in the AFL. So there could be something there. A guy who I like just because it reminds you that development is not linear. Nomar Fana, F-A-N-A is the last name. He is an outfielder, switch hitter, and spent 1-2 years in the DSL and another year in the Florida Complex League at age 20, and then at age 21 they sent him back down to start there, and things were really different. He turned into a different ball player. He earned a promotion. Things weren't as good in the promotion, but he still beat the stuffing out of the ball. Finished with 13 homers and 17 steals, but 3 home runs in just 21 games in A-ball. So, you know, pretty solid contact guy, but just one of those guys that, like I said, he took off this year after multiple years of kind of spinning his wheels in complex ball, and that might be his peak year.
Right. We'll see if that progresses or if that was
It's one of those where you remember that, hey, not everyone goes in a nice, straight, perfect line all the way up to the majors. Sometimes you have those stalls and those fits and starts and things like that, so...
Okay, well, that's the Tigers, that's the Astros, that's the Guardians, or as Ben calls them, the Indians. Hashtag never forget. Ben, who are the next three on the Big Three Next Three that we're going to cover? And this next episode may go live, but we're not sure yet.
And I will say there will be some catcher talk.
Oh, no.
Kansas City, the Angels, and the Minnesota Twins are going to be the three teams that we highlight.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Because that's a fun trio.
I love defending the Angels. I really do.
You know, if we go just their 6 deep, there's not a lot to defend.
Yeah, there's stuff. But
it's the fact that you have, if you go in their entire system, we got problems. But if you go just 6 deep, by the way, Angels, that's who it was. Sam Aldergetti or whatever.
Yeah.
That's who I was thinking of. Gary. That's who I was thinking of when I thought of
Spencer.
That's
the name that you thought had left Houston.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's talk for next time. But you got these big three. You know who's coming up next, KC, LA, and Minnesota. Unless you're out of sync with us, which, again, get yourself set up, subscribe to Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs. On behalf of myself, Ben, Govier, and the boys, thanks so much.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden. It's cruel sometimes. but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big.